Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast, your weekly dose of knife news and information about knives and knife collecting. Here's your host, Bob the Knife Junkie DeMarco.
Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast. I'm Bob DeMarco. On this edition of the show, I'm speaking with Gregor Grabarski, the knife designer you know as Kombu. Kombu lives and works in Poland and designs knives exclusively for one of my favorite companies, Best Tech Knives. Now, Gregor was originally on episode 264, but he has a number of new models coming out, some of which will be debuting at Blade Show this year, and he will be there in person to show them off. So we wanted to bring him back on the show and take a look at these models and talk about his first trip to Blade Show. But first, be sure to like, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell. Make sure that you're subscribed. Seems that some people's subscriptions sort of slip away from them inexplicably. So check that. Also, be sure to download us on your favorite podcast apps. Now, if you think what we do here is valuable and you want to help support the show, you can do so by going to Patreon or going to thenifejunkie.com/Patreon, and that'll funnel you straight in to the Patreon account. Or you could just click that QR code right here that Jim has up on screen. Either way, go there and check it out. Again, that's thenifejunkie.com/Patreon to help support the show. thenifejunkie.com/Patreon.
The Get Upside app is your way to get cash back on your gas purchases. Get Upside is an app you put on your smartphone, and whenever you need to get gas, search your area for savings, claim your discount, fill up your tank, and then take a picture of the receipt with your phone. And that's it. You've just got cash back. Visit thenifejunkie.com/save on gas to get the app and start saving. Again, that's thenifejunkie.com/save on gas.
Gregor, welcome back to the show. How you doing, sir?
Very well, thank you. Hi, Bobby. Hello, everybody. Thanks for having me here.
Oh, man, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. And what else is a pleasure is that recently, Eric from Best Tech, someone that you work with, sent me a new version of one of your knives, one of your classic knives with Best Tech, and that's the Ornetta. We're going to talk about this. The Ornetta now is being offered in G10 and D2. It's D2, right? N690.
That's
so
we're gonna
talk about that in a minute because that's an exciting development. It's a very complicated and beautiful design, and now it's brought within reach to more people. So we're gonna talk about that. That's very exciting to me. We're also gonna talk about some new models you have coming out, and one of which you'll be debuting at Blade Show. But before we get to any of that stuff, let's find out who you are again, just in case people haven't watched 264. You're a Polish knife designer. Tell us how you got into knife designing and working exclusively with one of the best manufacturers out there.
That's right. So hello, everybody. My name is Grzegorz Grabarski, and I'm from Poland. I'm knife designer working with Best Tech Knives. And now it's been 3 years that we are developing together nice products, folding knives, and I managed to make around 15 designs so far, and it's great. Do you want to know how I started with my hobby?
Yeah, I do. It seems like there are a lot of great knife makers and designers coming out of Poland, and I'm wondering if it's in the water there, or how you got started.
I don't know. It's just because we love knives in Poland, like in America. So, yeah, I started about, I don't know, 8 years ago as a photographer. I was shooting outdoor shots of knives and posting it on Instagram. My account is KOMBOU, and I don't know, I was one of the first knife influencers on Instagram. I was working with brands like Bastinelli Knives, Custom Knife Factory, and a few more like Fox Knives Italy. And then after a few years, I decided to become a knife designer. And to be honest, I'm sketching knives and guns since very young age. So it was pretty easy for me. All I needed to do is to find again my greatest hobby, my greatest passion, my greatest love, which is knives.
Yeah, and then you put that put the artistic love into it, and you can really come out with something pretty extraordinary. What is your overlying design philosophy? I see when I look at your knives, I see a lot of the natural world in them. They seem very organic. But what are you thinking about? What inspires you when you make these knives, when you design them?
My knives are inspired mostly by nature, but also by the pop culture with everything inside, like Hollywood movies, like video games, stuff like that. And also the car design is something which I'm passionate about. And yes, I prefer curvy lines more than, you know, straight lines. So that's why my knives are so wavy. And I'm doing the best to keep them as much artistic as possible, which is not easy sometimes. Bestek sometimes has a hard time with me.
Well, I mean, I could see how Bestek, you might hand them a design. And Bestek might roll their eyes like, man, this is going to be a lot of work.
Yes, there is.
Well, there's milling on the surface, a lot of different types of milling on the surface. And then there's contouring of the entire surface. And there are a lot of dimensions there to get right to make that blade fit in there. So when you make these designs, how much of the mechanical aspect of the actual physics and the design of the mechanics of it, how much of that do you have under your belt, or are you just designing for the eye and the hand?
I'm mostly designing an overall shape of knife. Mm-hmm. With all the needed things around it, like the blade length to the handle ratio and stuff like that, and everything else is going with help of Bestek engineers, which are very good in what they do, and there is a very good synergy between us. They understand my needs, and I understand what I have to tell them to make it, very close to original vision. So yes, I have engineers on my back. I am not engineer by myself.
That seems to be a great situation to be in, especially as an artist, because you can fully express yourself in the design of the knife, and then they might come to you and say, "Well, you're going to have to pare back this expression and make it a little more practical."
It's exactly how it looks, we have a very good team. The synergy is so good. They are not trying to, cut something from knife. They are trying to chase the original vision. And I'm very happy that Bestek, guys from Bestek are, so patient with the small details I'm talking about to them. Change this, change that. They are doing a really great job to understand what I have to say through my designs. One more thing about ergonomy. I am pretty obsessed about, connecting ergonomy with crazy looking. It means that my designs cannot only look good or look special, but it also have to be ergonomic, So it's not always work 100%, but I'm doing my best to keep my knives, useful and you know what I mean.
Well, this is actually something I was going to ask you about, is the ergonomics. I in my own knife collecting and using and appreciating, I vacillate. Where I guess what I should say is that I have a taste across a full range. I love a totally rectangular neutral handle, and then I also love a handle like this, which some people might say forces your hand into certain positions. I think force is a forceful word, but it definitely prescribes your grip in a number of different ways. This saber grip, this Filipino grip, this close-up grip. This is actually good in a reverse grip, which is something I mentioned in my video, because I like to cap the pommel and give a good place to wrap the thumb around. So what I'm getting, even in a reverse grip, if you had to hold it like this to do those chest pull things to cut wood, which, you know, okay, in a survival situation, you might, this is probably not what you're taking camping, but even in that situation, it manages to be comfortable. Oftentimes knives with choils and swoops and curves that force your hand into a certain position aren't comfortable in other positions. When you're designing a handle like this, what are your considerations?
First of all, I'm very happy to hear that it meets your expectations from the ergonomic point of view. And I feel what will be comfortable as soon as I design the first step of the knife. And I don't know, it's very intuitive. Because before I was designing knife, I was kind of collector, and I had many of knives coming through my hands, through my hand, and not all were ergonomic. And I told myself, when I will design knives, they will be as ergonomic as possible. And sometimes people look at the knife and said, "This cannot be ergonomic," and then they grip, take it in hand, and there is, you know, something like, I didn't expect that. It's better than expected. So I think it's kind of success to surprise somebody with that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And especially when you look at it and you think, this is going to fit my hand one way, but then you grip it and you see that it's way more universal in hand and the different grips.
I'm very happy to hear that.
so let's continue with the Ornetta. If you could hold that up. This was your first high-end collaboration with Best Tech, or was it your very first collaboration period?
Very first collaboration. It was like I sent only sketch to Best Tech with pencil on a white paper, and it was Ornetta, and I emailed them, ask if they want to make a collaboration, and they immediately, mail back and said, give me everything you have, you know, we want to make it. So I was very lucky, you know. And then it was around 3 years ago, and now we have about 15 models accomplished 15. Or almost accomplished. Yes.
15 models. No, I was going to say, that's amazing. That's a lot of knives. And for a company like Best Tech, who has been OEMing for a while, and then a few years back started, really pumping up its own output under its own shingle, it makes sense to go with a designer like you, Gregor, because your designs are challenging. And if they could successfully make the Ornetta, for instance, that's a proof of concept for them. That shows the world that they're capable of making these kind of complex designs.
Yes, absolutely. If they make a difficult design, from my head, they will better understand how to, for example, make more complicated OEM work, for other brands. And I'm really happy that they are not complaining. They are maybe sometimes cry, but I'm not there. I'm here in Poland. It's like, magic pencil for me. I'm drawing a knife. I'm sending to them. And then I wait around a half year to get the final product in my hand. So that's kind of living the dream.
Yeah, I'd say so. So let's take a look at some of the knives you have that have come out this year. That you're going to be showcasing at Blade Show, and then I definitely want to see the one you're going to be debuting at Blade Show. But let's take a look at some of the ones you've put out just this year.
Okay, great. So this year is very fruitful for me because I have and I will have about twice as many releases as the last year. And let me start from the smallest one, the Nuke. This is the smallest knife from my lineup. It fits in hands. It has a blade under 3 inches. So it's pretty small knife, but I would say that is ergonomic and very good for light EDC. This is BT line with M390 steel with hand wrapped satin blade. Oh, let me clean it. Beautiful hand wrapped satin blade with gentle anodization on the scales. And the inlay is made from marble carbon fiber. And they are also prepared the school Bestek pivot, which I designed for them. I don't know if you can see
it clear. Yeah, I can see that, yeah.
But yes, this is Nuke, N-U-K-E, like the bomb. I have also the other version.
This one
is full black wash. On the blade and handle, and the inlay is from Orange Coral G10, which reminds a little bit of rusty post-apocalyptic feeling to this knife. So these are Nuke, two Nukes, and they are available at all Bestek dealers.
All right, so with this Nuke, it is notably smaller than your other designs.
Yes.
What was the design need here? What were you going for here besides just a smaller knife?
It was the challenge was to make blade length under 3 inches, and I'm not good at designing small knives because my brain always want to design long and big knives. So this one was pretty challenging, but I'm happy about it. It has multiple opening methods, fidget friendly and very nice.
Yeah, the blade shape of that strikes me as a very utilitarian. That would be a great work knife for draw cutting. And yeah, because it puts the point slightly below center, but it still has a belly. It has a lot of the different useful aspects of a work knife, but in a small little luxury item.
Yes, I like a nice belly on my knives, on my designs. So the more belly, the better.
So this was a 2022 release, right?
Yes, these are all what I want to see. These are mostly releases from this year.
Okay.
So the Nuke and the second one I want to show you is the Vigil. You might show this knife on my Instagram last time because I love to take pictures of it. And this is the most complicated, milling that Bestek ever made on handles. And it took a lot of, crazy work from them. The backspacer, the pocket clip, everything is pretty crazy on this knife.
Yeah. Let me ask you, when you drew this out, did you have all of the milling drawn out? Did you know exactly how you wanted that to be, or did the milling dictate during the process?
No.
Everything, I guess you can't afford to do that, can you?
Everything was, precisely planned by me, but the engineer who prepares a final 3D drawing, because they have to prepare their own final drawing straight for the machine,
right.
He understands me so well. I've never seen this guy. I don't know who it is, but we kind of, have the same flow. And he did his best, and I'm very happy, with the details on this knife. So this is Bestek Vigil, also premium release. With if somebody like, to stare at the knife or to taking pictures, this one is a photo bomb. And this is the steel on the Nuke, on this Vigil is also M390, and we have titanium handle with different finishes. So I have this one. If you prefer something different in colors, it's something like that with blue accents. so everybody can find something which fits better. So Best Tech Vigil.
What's the blade length on the Vigil?
I don't know, but it's...
it's like, what, 3.5? Something like that?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
So this knife, to me, is a striking combination of kind of art knife. You look at the handle, and it looks like looks like it's a very complex design and build. But it also looks pretty aggressive. It looks like this thing could be sort of a fancy tactical knife. What do you think of in terms of purpose of this knife in particular?
I have a little tactical guy inside me. I love to flipping balisong and karambits and stuff like that. So, yes, we can say that the goal is to connect the tactical and collectors and EDC purpose. And you can, use it. You can call it tactical knife. You can call it EDC knife. It's okay for me because I love tactical stuff by myself. I have a few really aggressive tactical blades in preparation. They are so crazy. But we will see them next year.
I thought your long stretched out clip point, whose name I can't remember now, a couple years ago, I thought that was a pretty aggressive knife. It was like over 4 inches.
It was Fanga.
The Fanga, yeah.
The Fanga, yes. I will show you.
Okay, yeah. I do love that knife. It's not often that you see such a good riff on the Bowie style knife. I really liked this one. Yeah, look at that thing. So that's got Kambu written all over it, and yet it looks very different. What do you think are your design signatures?
You mean about inspirations?
I mean more about style. When someone looks at a knife and says, that's a Kambu knife, what are they seeing that's helping them identify it?
I don't know. Maybe a few lines which always... oh, man. I really don't know how to answer these questions because my design process is kind of channeling. It's very intuitive. I'm not forcing for anything. And this comes out. And all the knives are, kind of materialization of dreams or something like that. So right. I really don't know why I doing like this, but it is something common in all my designs. And some guys are telling that they can find out that this is combo design. And it's huge compliment for me because it's not easy to keep them, in one stylistic, but different.
It's not easy to develop a genuine style. A lot of people try for style or might... adopt certain design flourishes to try and differentiate themselves. But really, when you see across a whole bunch of designs, you have 15 with Best Tech and probably a million others we haven't seen, you start to see similarities. For me, it's the overall organic profile of the thing. You can kind of tell.
Yes, that's
from
the words I missed. Overall organic profile. So that's the answer.
They frequently have a fuller in the blade, which I love. I mean, a lot of people put fullers in, but.
This one
your
has
knives,
fuller too.
The pocket clips are always unique and organic and interesting.
Maruka with fuller Persian style.
Now, which one is this?
This is Best Tech Maruka. Marukka.
And is this a new one?
I don't even know. No, this is released from 2020.
Okay. Oh, that's cool.
I have
Persian.
A really lot of them. Yes.
That's a great problem to have. I want you to show off the knife you showed me before we started rolling here. You showed me something really special, something really interesting that you're going to be debuting in a month. Let's see what that is.
This knife might be known, but by few guys from community, this is Best Tech Buvaya. And why I am so smiling right now because. In just 1 month, I'm hitting my first Blade show in Atlanta, which I was, I couldn't wait for that. And this year I have a table, 22K. I would love to invite you there to chat about knives, about design. And this is Buvaya. And Bestek promised me that this knife will be live at first day of show. They are doing their best to finish it because the milling on the blade is really pain in ass to finish, you know. All around the knife is pretty complicated, and I guess they are not have easy time preparing this model.
So there are a lot of different things happening here, but I would imagine, I mean, you mentioned milling the blade as being the issue. I mean, what's the blade steel, first of all?
It will be M390, if I'm okay. Not sure.
So
if
M390 I'm not sure wrong. That's a pretty hard steel. So doing all that milling in M390 is, so that's not just grinding we're seeing. That plunge line and that grind line, that looks like it's cut into the blade, milled in. It's not ground out. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. But as I said, it for me, it's a magic pencil. I design and they are doing all the hard work, which I really appreciate. So
what was the meaning behind this design? This looks more robust than a lot of your designs. It looks more hard use. What were you thinking of going into this design?
Actually, Buvaya is the old design, and it's one of the first knives I've ever designed. It was in 2016, I think. And Buvaya means a crocodile in Filipino language, which I found out is a cool name. And yes, that's how Buvaya came to life. I was thinking about something cosmic, futuristic crocodile or other. You know, crazy reptile.
That's funny. The name Buvaya, I was like, I know that word. How do I know that word? And in the Filipino Kali, martial art that I've been doing for a long time, we use a Buvayan hand, and it's like a crocodile. Instead of grabbing someone's arm, you just block it like this so you can move to a different position without over-engaging with a grip. So that's cool. I was like, I know that word. But I look at this thing, and to me, it looks very different from your other work. It's obviously yours from that sort of wave pattern you have milled in there. You see that also in the Ornetta here. So there are some of those signature moves there, so to speak, design moves. But the overall thing looks very different to me. It really does look like a combat knife. It looks like a hard-use tactical knife. So it's kind of an exciting departure for you, design-wise.
Yes, actually, this knife was made in few custom pieces in 2016 and 17 by my good friend BRR Knives from Poland, and he made around maybe 5, 7, or 10 pieces of this knife and discontinued. And there was a lot of collectors who wanted to own this knife. But never had a chance to do that. And after all these years, I have, requests to make, I have many requests to make this knife, as a full production knife with Bestek. And, here we are. It's almost ready. And I will have my, one piece, on the blade show. And I'd love to show you guys, how it looks, how it works. And it will be a pleasure to talk about it on the show.
So when a design is finished, and say for this one, they finish the prototyping and they're doing production now, do you have anything to do with the after marketing of it, with the quality control is what I'm interested in. Do they send them to you to look over, or is that just done in the prototyping phase and then they handle it from there?
We usually making one prototype before final product. I think it's very precise work because before prototyping, I will making sure that everything is as it need to be, And after prototyping, there is always one chance to make some corrections, and final product, should be great. And Bestek always send me prototypes to check. And after they finish, they sending me final pieces of, let's say, each one finish of final product. And I have it in my hand. And if something is, could be better, could be done better, I always taking my notes for upcoming designs to level up the game.
Right. Oh, that's interesting. I mean, you're in a great position. You're like a Hollywood director who has final cut in a way, because this is not an OEM situation where you're an independent designer and they're making it for you and they send it to you and you do all the quality control and send it out. You are a designer working for them.
Yeah.
And you are doing, you're giving them a signature look for sure. And they are giving you an avenue to distribute your work. So I'm just kind of wrapping my mind around this, because I talk to a lot of people who use Bestek as their OEM, and it's a different process, obviously.
And
as I sit here, I think I see the benefits of both ways of doing it. But right now, I'm definitely seeing the benefit on your end of things here.
Yes, the most benefit of having own company and OEMing own designs is that you probably earn more money, because you are the entrepreneur who, have to worry about all the aspects. Mm. And I am in the situation where I can 100% focus on creative work, on designing, on designing process during prototyping. And also I am doing, taking a lot of pictures of these knives and, trying to promote the products through my pictures. So I'm mostly doing creative work and all the marketing process, all the pricing, all the quality control is on Bestek side. And they are the guys who has a lot of things to worry about. But it's not that I'm not worried, because, I'm kind of obsessed to chasing perfection. Mm-hmm. And I'm, I don't know how to say it. I'm not, when I get a final product, it's not like, wow, we got it. We can, move forward with another one. I'm often very pissed off. I can't even, enjoy this process, because there is one small detail that I forgot or something like this. Mm-hmm. It's not, noticeable for you, but, my obsessive mind is chasing perfection. So it's always, it's also pretty stressful for me, to get the final vision in the product. But I am doing my best, as well as Bestek. So I, yes.
Well, that's how an artist does it. That's how an artist thinks. They paint a painting, hang it on the wall, live with it for a while, look at it every day, and all the little mistakes pop up. Other people walk by that painting or glance at the painting. They don't see them. They see the painting for what it is. It's something hanging on the wall that looks good. But the artist is looking at, man, that green, I knew that green was off, but I didn't know how to resolve it at the time. Now, if I were to go back into that painting, which I'm not going to, I would add this and that.
Yes,
I would imagine
absolutely.
It's even worse or more profound when you're creating, designing a product, and then that product is solidified in the real world through machinery and a whole bunch of money and a whole bunch of other people. You can't just tweak. You can't just say, I should have done this with that design. You do have to save up that lesson learned for the next design.
Absolutely. The same as you, I am keeping my knives on the wall. And every day, chasing, every day, watching them, taking, staring at them. And, I do not hide it to my drawer, but all my mistakes are, visible every day.
Yeah.
I can even show you really quick how it looks.
Yeah.
A bunch of knives on the wall, and I'm very dedicated to what I do. And this is very important for me because I have great blessing and opportunity to do my passion for living. It was almost impossible for my parents in Poland a few decades ago. And now we have beautiful times when the creator can, you know, spread his vision to the world. And that's great for me. I'm living the dream. I am doing my passion for living, and I'm adding something for this great community. That's a win. Absolutely.
Yes, you're a man in the arena, and when you're done, you're leaving behind knives, and that's what's that's what's exciting to me. It's a real, actual thing. This is coming from someone who has always prized individual creation, like the making of paintings or like the making of one individual thing. But the idea of having a design and then having it manufactured and spread worldwide is very exciting to me because it's kind of outside of my original way of thinking. But when I think about someone in your position, and it's a great position from my perspective as a designer. And we were talking about the pros and cons of owning a company and then having an OEM make your work, or being a designer for a company like yourself. And I think if you're an owner of a knife company and you're having someone OEM your work, it's the stress of, are people going to buy this? Am I over my head? You know, when do I make the next move? When do I reinvest the money I've made and all that kind of stuff? Whereas someone like you, as a designer, you don't have to worry about that stuff. What you have to worry about is the public and tastes. You know, are people sick of my designs? Do they want to see something else from me? Do they like having some understanding of the creative world and art? You got your style. You want to maintain a style so people know that's a kombu knife. But you don't want to stagnate and stay in the same place.
Absolutely.
So, okay. Well, what do you do to sort of keep things fresh for yourself in that design process?
I'm trying to design new knife every day. And I have a sketchbook with 100 designs, 200 designs. I don't even know how many of knives I've drawn in my life. And I'm trying to, you know, take something best and send to Best Tech, and always trying to make another one different than the one before. But at the same time, speaking the same language of design. And it's not that easy, but I think so far is so good. But I'm humble, and I don't know if I don't know how to say it. The point is that, oh man.
It's okay.
Sorry, I'm going to the plane mode. I forgot about it.
Seems we're having a little bit of technical difficulty between the DC area and Poland. I'm sure Gregors will be back with us in a quick minute, but that's a big conundrum.
A small technical problem. I'm back. Everything should be fine.
All right. So yeah, we were just talking about design and keeping design fresh while still maintaining your style so that your work is recognizable, but that it doesn't get stagnant or stale.
So I'm not limited to exact shape of blade, to exact shape of handle. I have an encyclopedia of historical knives. I'm studying, you know, searching for new blade shapes, handle shapes. And let's say I have a variety of sizes. I have small knife. I have, you know, middle size. But I have also prototype with me of... something, you know, big. Yeah. And this is something I can, you know, juggle the sizes, the blade shapes and stuff like that. I have Tanto blade in preparation. So, and I, when I have a shape, I'm trying, you know, to get this the common flow of the designer language.
Right.
Excuse me for my English.
Oh, your English is awesome, by the way.
Thank you.
But I like hearing that that you refer to an encyclopedia of historical blades. As you can see from behind me, I love historical ethnographic weapons and I have a bunch of those books too. And that's one thing I could see. Like when you came out with the Fanga, that was one thing that I could see immediately. Like, okay, he's looking at Bowie knives.
My favorite shape of knife.
Oh, man.
Of a blade.
Every time I say that, I'm like, yeah, but I also love, and then I could list all the others, but I love a Bowie. And to me, this was an exciting design because you could see that. I had known you up until this point as a very modern designer. And then I saw that and I was like, okay, here's a modern interpretation of a classic historical blade. What historical blades do you love the most? If you could have anything hanging on the wall behind you, from history, what would it be?
For example, the Tyra, mm-hmm. Is my interpretation of original Puko blade, mm-hmm. Scandinavian blade, and is, you know, I took the original shape and started to making something around it, and I finished with something like this.
That design in particular is cool because it does look like a Puko, especially with that bevel. And the overall profile of the blade, but it also is a little bit sleeker, a little bit more futuristic. And I look at that thing and I want to stab with it. It just looks like, you know, a thruster.
Please don't do it.
No. Stab into a tree or something.
Yeah. It's aggressive. Like Vigil, they are aggressive. You know why? Because they have V-shaped blades, you know. They are looking like car, like sport car, something that want to drive very fast, you know.
Right.
That's why they are so aggressive. But for example, you know, having a knife like Nuke is not as tactical and don't bring you the primal instinct to stabbing and cutting right. any living creature, you know.
Right, right. So historically speaking, though, what are your favorite historical knives or swords? What are the you would love to have a version of a historical?
I live in Poland, and recently I was, studying Polish blades history, and there is something like Polish saber, mm-hmm. szabla, sable, saber, right? Excuse me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would like to make a variation of Polish saber as a folding knife. We will see in future. Also, I can recommend you a scene from classic Polish movie, Pan Wołodyjowski. It's hard to say, but they have a scene of saber fighters, which was called one of the best fights in the cinema, saber fights in the history of cinema all around the world.
I think I've seen it. It's in the woods in front of some big rocks, right?
No. It's the people around, and the rain is there. Is a heavy rain, and two guys, small one and big one, are fighting sabers, and they are doing this very well, like they did those days, you know.
Yeah. If you look, you know how YouTube just kind of sends you stuff you're interested in from stuff that you've looked at before. I've gotten a lot of, for a while, I was getting a lot of Polish saber fighting videos in my feed. And one of them was from a movie, and they did say it was one of the best saber fights ever. But this is one I'm remembering. It took place in the woods. But then also, there are these great videos with two guys. They're on a hilltop, and they show a bunch of different they do a bunch of different kind of sparring things, but they're in the traditional, I believe they're shirtless, but they're in traditional Polish garb, and they have these long curved sabers, and their style of fighting is so cool because it looks like a combination of European, Filipino, and Sikh saber fighting, you know, where they whip it from behind their back. And it's very interesting. I did not know until these videos started flooding my feed that Poland had such a rich saber fighting and sword fighting history.
Yes, Poland is a very old country. It's like 1,000 years or something like that. When Poland was started. And yes, we have very big traditions. People nowadays, you know, wearing the old school clothes, and they are meeting together, making tournaments of knights, and they're, you know, it's very common in Poland.
So that must explain, like I said, the Ostap Hells and the Kambu and who's the gentleman we were just talking about with the chili
Trolsky.
Pepper Trolsky. And also BRR, lots of action happening in Poland. Now, do you know if it's mostly designers? I know Trolsky is himself, he forges.
He's a knife maker, yes. He's forging, he's knife making. BRR is also a knife maker. Ostap is a maker of knucks, Mjolnir. Mm-hmm. I will show you. This is his main product.
Oh, yeah. And then he has designs through. That's pretty cool. And then if you're not watching, it's a little punch knuck. It looks like a T, yes, and it fits in your hand. And Ostap Hell, he's got a bunch of knives that through, who is it? Not Bestek, but someone else.
Yes, with Bestek, with Wii Knife, and also with Concept, I believe.
Okay.
Ostap is a freelancer, and he's working as a designer with a few brands.
Okay, so. So yeah, it is interesting how different cultures, little knife communities, knife worlds pop up, and then they have an emblematic look. I feel like Polish knives definitely, Russian knives have a certain look, South African knives, and it's just exciting to see different cultures differentiate themselves, but come
and
together.
American knives.
And American knives. I don't know. I don't actually know if I can put my finger on American knives right now. It's a very mixed bag because we have.
Okay.
It's a place that's difficult and expensive to actually manufacture the knives, but we have so many knife people and knife designers and enthusiasts here. So half of them, or some percentage of them, are making knives here themselves by hand, and then others are OEMing the work out in other countries. And so when I have plenty of knives by friends and colleagues who have designed their knives here and have had them made over there. And when I'm holding a Wii made knife, say, for instance, by someone who lives in the States, I can't help but think this is an international knife. You know, obviously it's an American design created in China. Like, so what is an American knife? It makes an interesting question.
Welcome to globalism. Everything is connected so much these days that, you know, I'm a globalist, I can say, because I love people from all around the world. If they are good people, I don't care if they are from China, from Poland, from USA. They can be my brothers and sisters. And I'm very happy. I'm a child of globalism, designer from Poland, working with Chinese knives, with German and American materials, you know, then selling it worldwide in USA, Canada, Russia, and everywhere. So all world is invited in this process. And
that's, I love that.
Absolutely amazing. It wasn't possible a few decades ago. So I feel lucky. I feel blessed.
That's true. I mean, you're a world citizen, working in on the world stage, and I love that. And there's something romantic about that, but there is also something to be said for national identity. So you managed to do both, and I think, you know, I said, "What's an American knife?" I think what it really is, just that since we're sitting here talking, is the innovation that goes into the design. You know, I when I think of manufacturing capacity, I think of China. When I think of innovation and design, you know, I might think the United States.
Absolutely.
So that's where I would that's where I would differentiate. But that's not to say that the innovation is only coming from here. It's not. It's coming from everywhere. But you know, yourself included.
I'm not innovative. I'm just taking the oldest tool, you know, and making it look aggressive and maybe, you know, pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I'm not engineer. I don't see myself innovating, you know, a new lock mechanism or something like that. Maybe new shape, which is extremely hard to find new shape right now. Everything has been made so far.
Yeah, but remember, they said that after the telegraph came out. They're like, everything's been invented now, boys. We can talk to someone far away and look at how far we've
right.
come.
You're right. And look where we are.
Yeah. If you're looking at the screen right now, you'll see a little tease of the video we'll be posting of my close-up of the Kombu designed Ornetta in G10. Now, this is a cool trend. This and the Kalsa, right? The Kalsa, is that what it's
Kasta,
called?
Kasta.
Kasta.
K-A-S-T-A.
Now, those are two knives. This one here is a similar to the Ornetta we were just showing off. It is a more budget-friendly version of a model. So tell me a little bit about this move to take some of your designs and manufacture them less expensively.
It was made by request of customers, fans, collectors. A lot of them cannot afford, you know, $250-$300 knife, but they like to have one of my designs in their collection, and now they can have one of them, like Kasta or Ornetta, for kind of half price or even less, because right. The Ornetta, I'd like to tell you that Ornetta, which you handle, is the one with N690 steel. Mm-hmm. And it has also titanium accents, like sculptured pocket clip is titanium. And there will be other one with D2 steel, with steel pocket clip. And I believe it will be half price of this one, and it will cost around $70-$80. So it's really affordable for... for everybody who want to have Kombu design in their collection. So I'm very happy about it.
I am too. It's great that they have the ability to scale down and to still be giving some of these high-end flourishes, like the milling, like the design, basically. It's the high-end, the whole thing's a high-end flourish. So it's nice that they can put it in something less, you know, more attainable.
Yes. For example, this knife, Vigil, I can see it, you know, in more affordable version, because it's too many details, and it can only be made in titanium, in my opinion. So there are some designs which are possible to convert into more affordable versions, and some are not working this way. But Ornetta, the one you hold, and the Kasta, was, you know, well-known knives. They were field tested, let's say, field tested, maybe in drawers of collectors. That was their field. But yeah, right. Now they can, you know, buy a more affordable version and put it into real work, you know, because these knives are workers, not only, you know, for cleaning and for flipping. Can do real things.
that's another thing I was going to mention, is that now that one can get the Ornetta for a third of the price of the original, they actually might take it out of their pocket and use it, because I mean, in a sense, it's a luxury item. We know that, and it's a precious thing. And I don't know, some people are different about this, but I'm a little bit precious with some of my more expensive knives, you know. So I'd be much more apt to bust out the N690 version of the Ornetta and go to town and actually see what a useful tool it is, as opposed to just being a cool looking and fun to flip, well-made and awesomely designed knife.
It's really less struggle to, you know, destroy cutting edge on the knife, which is more affordable than, you know, $300 knife. And I believe most of my premium releases from Bestech are, you know, Safe Queens. They are going from hands to hands. They are been flipping and keeping in dry and warm drawer. So this is true collectors. But there is some people who really use it.
Yes. So the way I see it is, if I were in your position, it would be a mixed emotion. Part of me would say, I love that people think my stuff is so precious that it's like artwork and they want to keep it safely away. But at the same time, it's a knife. It's a tool, man. Use it.
Yes.
So before we wrap up here, I want you to show off that big, giant prototype you had in your hands a few minutes ago. And is this one that people are going to see at table 22K at Blade yes. Show?
Yes, this one also should be available, I think, if not at the Blade Show time, but maybe a little bit later, but really soon. So yeah. Month or two, and it's a very big knife. 12.6 inches overall length.
Woo.
I have fairly big hands, and this knife, you know, you can grab it like this, and you have a long reach. No, yeah. Maybe I'm not doing a good thing, like stabbing it, but it's kind of a tactical knife for me. And I also just found out a name for this knife, and the name will be Fairchild.
Fairchild,
like this plane.
The A-10. The
big American plane from World War II, which is kind of remind me of... I was a little bit inspired but by old school big planes, you know. And this is Bestech Fairchild. It will be a little bit different, but it will be only cosmetic changes, and overall shape is like that. Very big, big guy, you know. I don't know what more to say. It's a very fruitful year for me, and a lot of new designs will come soon.
So you were saying you were inspired by the Fairchild.
Yes.
And I was going off thinking, didn't Fairchild make the A-10 Warthog originally? But then I could be wrong about that. That's another cool American airplane.
I not follow American post-war history, but I was kind of scrolling internet and found original pictures of this plane. And that make me draw, you know, the knife like this.
That thing is cool. So now, what I really like about this, I love the overall shape. I am a big fan of the Warncliffe-like blade. But what I really love is that it's a big knife. I love big knives, and your choices are very limited when you love big knives. So to see some high design, high quality, Bestech large knife designed by you is exciting because, like I said, I've got a huge collection of huge cold steel knives and then a very small collection of other large knives, and I would like that to grow. So that is an exciting thing to see.
I like big knives too, but I was also always worried if they will sell good, because yeah. If there were a market for such a big knives, which are not, you know, EDC friendly, they are pretty heavy, they are too big, you know, for your pocket. That's why we made only 200 pieces of this knife, to see if they are, you know, big enough to find a group of fans. But this is a comparison with my smallest knife, the Nuke, and the Fairchild.
The largest. Well, Gregor, thank you so much for coming on the Knife Junkie podcast and showing off your latest creations. 15 designs with Bestech so far, and exclusively through Bestech. I think, like you said, you are living the dream. It sounds awesome. And it's great that you work with a company that is so good at what they do and can take your very complicated organic designs and make them real. So remind people of how they can get in touch with you, how they can view your work, and then where they can meet you at Blade Show.
Absolutely. So guys, if you want to follow my designer's work, you can follow me on Instagram. It's KOMBOU. Then you can find the newest things going on. And absolutely, it will be a pleasure for me to meet you on Blade Show. I will be on the table 22K. I will be by myself with a full table of Bestech knives. I will have each one of my design made by Bestech. So you can come chat with me and examine each product from my lineup. So it will be really... That's why I'm smiling, because I finally want to feel the magic of the biggest knife show in the world. And I have already a ticket, a plane ticket, and my suitcase is already packed and I'm ready to fly. Yes.
It's waiting by the door.
Absolutely. I'm ready to go. I can flip my hat back and go to America.
We don't all wear our hats like that. Gregor, no, thanks so much for coming on the show, man. I really appreciate it. And I can't wait to shake your hand in a little over a month and see all your knives in person.
Thank you,
it's a pleasure,
sir.
Man. My pleasure.
Thank you. See you on Blade Show.
See you at Blade Show.
Goodbye.
Do you like the sound of the alphanumeric combinations M390, 204P, and 20CV, but bristle at 8CR13MOV and AUS-8? You are a knife junkie. Probably worse.
That's right. Probably worse. So there he goes, ladies and gentlemen. Gregor Grabarski, Kambu. That's a little easier for me to say. By the way, the Polish language is absolutely beautiful. I used to watch a lot of Krzysztof Kieslowski movies, and at one point I thought I wanted to learn Polish. Pipe dreams, I suppose. In any case, join us here next Sunday for another great interview with a luminary of the knife world. And also check us out on Wednesday for the midweek supplemental, where I go over new knives in the knife world, new knives in my collection, and highlight some other great stuff. Thursday night, of course, 10 p.m., is owned by Thursday Night Knives right here on YouTube, or it's also live on Twitch and Facebook. So check us out on all of those spots. So for Jim working his magic behind the switcher, I'm Bob DeMarco saying until next time, I implore you, do not take dull for an answer.
Thanks for listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review at reviewthepodcast.com. For show notes for today's episode, additional resources, and to listen to past episodes, visit our website, theknifejunkie.com. You can also watch our latest videos on YouTube at theknifejunkie.com/YouTube. Check out some great knife photos on theknifejunkie.com/Instagram and join our Facebook group at theknifejunkie.com/Facebook. And if you have a question or comment, email them to bob@theknifejunkie.com or call our 24/7 listener line at 724-466-4487 and you may hear your comment or question answered on an upcoming episode of the Knife Junkie Podcast.